Red Film Radio, Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Red Film Radio from the Lovers Festival in Torino. My guest today is Annuccia Buonaguattana, the director of Malila, the Farewell Flower. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your film is really fascinating, aesthetically fascinating, first of all, and it's based on the existence of this flower composition called Baiseri. Can you tell us something about this?
Actually, Baiseri is just for the ceremony. People believing that Baiseri can connect spirit to the body. Like when you have a big change in life, like when you get married, or you get to ordain as a monk, or you travel very far, and people will say that you will lose your spirit, and they will make Baiseri to reconnect the spirit and body again, like to give a preparation for something new in your life.
A really fascinating characteristic that is about this flower composition is that they are very beautiful, but they don't last long.
Yes.
And they have to be thrown away right after the purpose. And there is in the movie a kind of connection between this thing and the story, the love story of the two guys.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. It makes me feel absurd when I made Baiseri. It takes a lot of time to fabricate flowers into a very beautiful shape. But it's bitter. Anyway, it's a flower. Mm-hmm. It's bitter in maybe 3 hours or in 1 day. So I began to think about what the purpose of making this.
And it's how did you build up the love story about these two guys narratively? Because we know that they were lovers. They knew each other, and then they meet again. And then but they meet again in a very specific time of life for both of them. Why did you choose that specific moment to have them meet again?
Malila, the Farewell Flowers is the film that's talking about love, life, and death. So I think that specific time, I mean, one character have to have a terminal cancer, and the one that, you know, have a very painful past, that dealing with the death. So I think this is a very special moment. It came from my own experience with my best friend. I have a chance to live with him when he got a cancer and terminal illness. So the things that interest me very much is his point of view, that change. You know, he see a different life. Something that used to be important for him is not important anymore. The priority is changed. So I that's the inspiration from my story.
My story. Because also the other character is in a specific time of his life, because he's thinking about becoming a monk, and then he becomes a monk. So all his life is going to change, and all his priorities change again. But the link, the bond between the two of them still stays there, and which is really, it's really romantic in a way, and it's really melancholic too, because that nothing is going to, I mean, this bond cannot be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because it has to be broken at some point, because either dies and the other becomes a monk. So the love story has to end forcefully, and they know it. And it's really, really struggling, also for us watching it. Was your intention to be that, to make us feel so bad for them?
No, it's kind of I want the audience to have a comparison between the very beautiful love story. But it's not last long anyway. And the second part is about how to you dealing with your suffer. Mm. Mm, to understand the death. Like in the first part, in the beginning, you understand love and life and something that you can learn. But in the second part, it's focused on the death and suffering.
Yeah, actually, what you chose also to be sometimes to be pretty graphic in your images,
yes,
to show death in, like, not just like the spiritual part of it, but also the physical part of it. Why did you choose? Because it was really strange. Mm-hmm. As the pace and the taste of the film was very beautiful and cute and fascinating. Delicate, exactly. And then there was that couple of images. It was kind of shocking. Why did you choose to put them in?
I want to portray the corpse in a very realistic way. Mm. I mean, in Thai society, we used to this kind of meditation. I mean, the corpse meditation. Mm. And we all know that this thing still exists today in some temple. Mm. The monks have to stay at the corpse in a very long time. And I think it will bring some experience, some new experience. Mm. When you have a chance to staring at the corpse, many things came to your head.
Yeah, but it's really a violent kind of meditation because it forces you to.
It's not violent.
But internal.
Yeah. But it's the realistic. Yeah. It's the real. Yeah. That you know it. You should be in this state someday, to facing the death, confrontation. The death in a very realistic way. I think that it can somehow make people understanding, or not, yeah. Or maybe not, or maybe just talking. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, maybe either you can make you understand, or it puts you either further away of it, you know, because you're too shocked and you don't want to know, you don't want to see. Listen, I have a question about filmmaking. You shot it a lot on natural landscapes, mm-hmm. So beautiful landscapes actually. And how difficult was it for you to shoot there, and how long was the shooting? Because technically it was maybe more complicated than just shooting in a movie, in a theater.
Yes, to dealing with the natural elements like forest and some landscape is very hard in terms of art direction. Mm-hmm. I think because I'm the kind of director who emphasizes on color. Mm-hmm. And everything is so green, and I don't want it too green. Actually, we try to control some elements, some color. We put some dry grass to make a, you know, comparison of the life, like a green leaf and the death, like a dry or something death in the atmosphere. I try to create the special atmosphere that, as you say, is melancholic and is poetic. Atmosphere, and I think we'll be shooting in maybe 12 days.
Oh,
12 shooting day, and I think it's kind of a very special moment for me, because you have to dealing with something that change all the time.
Yeah, you know, very, very fast. So you have to be quick yourself.
Yes, and dealing with some animals. Not a big animal, just and an insect.
Yeah.
I choose the location that never been shooting before, never have any film to shoot in that location before, because it's so fresh. And when the character walk through that location, there's life, something sprung up, like butterfly or some insect or something that you unexpected. Mm. And I think it makes the atmosphere of the film life and like something like very atmospheric and poetic.
Yeah, actually, the final shot of the film is really beautiful to watch. Besides knowing what happened before, what got you there, but that shot was a faraway shot of this river lake with. Surrounded by trees.
And the monks with the saffron robe.
One last question about monks. You show all the ritual of being dressed, of naming your hair, your facial hair, your teeth, your skin. Why is that? Why are they taking this mantra of naming all the part of the bodies, why they are dressing up the monk?
Actually, it's the method of meditation. Mm-hmm. We have a very different many methods of meditation. Like, so many people will get used to focus on their inhale and exhale to meditate. Mm-hmm. But there's other way. Like you have to, you can focus on your hair and consider it like your hair is what is shape, what is color, until your mind can reach to the state of meditation.
Yes.
And you can focus on your skin and your teeth and your whatever. So this the monks know that method.
Uh-huh.
Mm. I mean the perceptual monks will give this.
Okay.
Like teeth, like hair.
Yeah, your body.
It's kind of like your own tunes or weapon that
okay,
you can
understand.
Use. Mm, something like that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you to Anucha Bunia Watana, the director of Malila the Fairy Flower, from here, from the Lovers Festival in Torino. I am Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.